What a beautiful way to start. I hope that got caught. Were you saving that?
Little. I was just about to come out when it happened.
Yeah. Hi. Welcome to the Running an Empty Podcast.
Sup?
Lights out edition. As lights out as we can make it, considering we can't black out my window.
The Darkness and Dragons edition.
Yeah. We're today.
D&D, if you will.
We're going to get into some quote unquote satanic horror RPGs. Summon some demons. Worship the devil.
I didn't know that we were doing that.
Okay.
Those dice are really cool.
Yeah, seriously though. All right.
Yeah, so today we're gonna do another D&D podcast, and
It's been
I
a
was
while.
thinking today what we should do is just kind of talk about, well, what I referred to as like the meta, I guess, of D&D earlier. So, I guess that would, to explain, would be like, we're going to talk a little bit about our thought processes when creating characters and creating campaigns, or if you're behind the screen dealing with certain issues that may come up, that kind of a thing.
Okay. All right. It's interesting.
And then also, I kind of wanted to talk about Matt Mercer a little bit too, because I saw a video recently called like the Matt Mercer effect. I don't know if you've heard of this.
I have. I was trying to get the groups into discussion about it about a
And
week or two ago, and no one really bit into it.
that's because I
Which,
always have the group chat muted.
yeah, it's something that I was looking into, because. But I also watched a very like enlightening video on Nerdarchy, and they're like, "Well, it's like we don't really like the term the Matt Mercer effect. It should just be the pro GM effect."
Okay,
So,
elaborate.
like it's most considered the Matt Mercer effect because Matt Mercer being kind of the most popular of those professional,
Arguably the best.
yeah, dungeon masters out there who, when people, especially new people watching Critical Role. And that's their induction to D&D, so they want every game to be run like that. They're like, "Oh, well, why didn't you do that? Matt Mercer does that." Well, that's list on like kind of I think this is kind of the same thing I kind of struggled with when I first started getting into D&D, because I think around the same time we had all talked about it initially was the same time that I had literally started watching Critical Role and some Acquisitions Incorporated,
Okay.
being exposed to people like Chris Perkins and Matt Mercer.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the thing. It's where you're seeing it played at a, well, I don't think, basically a professional level, someone who's been running it for so long, and you're
Right.
watching actors play the game.
Yeah, literally people that have been trained to, put their voices over characters of all kinds and that have probably some amount of improv experience under their belts, and then they're playing a character with a really good DM that again is like, professional. So, for lack of a better term, as professional as you can be, like you had mentioned, Chris Perkins, who literally is like, what I mean,
What are the
he's
heads?
Mr. D&D. Like, I don't even know, he's like in charge of everything about D&D basically,
Yeah.
or like one of the head guys. So you have like him or Matt Mercer, and I mean, he's not only an extremely talented voice actor and actor just in general, but he's been a dungeon master and been involved with D&D for longer than most people watching a show have been alive. So,
Yeah, Chris Perkins is those are like the chief story designers, what I just read, the senior story designer
okay,
over at Wizards of the Coast.
he's a big shot. Not to sound disrespectful about it, but he is a big shot at Wizards with
Yeah.
D&D.
Yeah, so basically if you see anything Dungeons and Dragons products on the shelf,
It's like Mark Rosewater and Chris Perkins
yeah, like
definitely looked at it before we saw it.
yeah, it's like they're going through, they're proving. I think it's between like Perkins, I think, is the name most known around the house, most known like amongst the community, because he's kind of like he's always been there, because he ran a game for a while that went on their Twitch that got extremely popular. He's been DMing Acquisitions Incorporated, which was like
Yeah.
the first D&D live show, and there's a... And then basically, you have other people who have popped up recently, like Jeremy Crawford, someone, I can't think of Justin, someone, I can't think of his name, but yeah, so basically, they're coming in, and like, these are the people who are designing the game, so more often than not, everything is orchestrated and goes through Chris.
Yeah.
So, long story short, they're people who are coming into the game and have this unrealistic expectation of every game that they're joining into. And that's having a kind of negative effect on the community, in a sense. So really, some people are saying...
Or it certainly can have a negative effect. And I would like to say that I don't think that, even though it's called, like, the Matt Mercer effect, or, like, the pro DM or GM effect, or whatever you want to call it, I wouldn't say it's necessarily their fault. Like, they're performing at a level that should be expected of them, in a way, mm-hmm. you know? Like... If you've been a DM for, like, 25 years or whatever, or however long, like, Matt Mercer's been doing it,
yeah.
like, you would expect him to be pretty good at it, right? Like, if you did something for 25 years, you'd be pretty good. Mm-hmm. The problem is, not with Matt Mercer, but then people see Matt Mercer, or they see Critical Role, or whatever, you know, take your pick. And then they see... how they're playing the game, and they expect their game to be... That'd be like watching Kobe Bryant, like, just play basketball and then, like, expect to get out on the field and, like, blame your team for not being a bunch of Kobe Bryants.
Yeah, and it's also, like, some people, like, who have taken, like, an issue with...
I said fields, but I meant court.
Yeah, but with this whole thing... Sports ball. It's also, like, taking issue at the point of, like, certain things that they do, and, like, basically how... Mercer uses that phrase, how do you want to do this?
Yeah.
Like, letting the player describe their kill. Like, apparently people have taken issue with, like, people wanting that element added to the game, which, I'm like, me personally, I'm like, that's actually, I enjoy that aspect of, like, giving my players the chance to, okay, how do you want, like, well, how do you think this kill should be? It's your, yeah. like, you got the final blow, you tell me how you want it to look.
Yeah.
And so it's just like...
Allows people to put their personality into it a little more.
Yeah.
Their character's personality.
And it just feels a little bit more personable like that.
Yeah. I actually really like how he does that.
And
I like to incorporate that when I can as well.
Yeah, so I think there's some give and there's some take to it all. Like, yeah, Critical Role is not something every game is going to be. And it's not something you should expect every game the game is going to be. If that's certainly the kind of game you want to play, make sure you bring it up to your play group beforehand. Talk about yeah. it. Like, even before the game ever starts, before you ever roll characters, ask everyone what, like, make sure everyone's on the same page for what they're looking for. If they want yeah. a more RP-heavy game, or they want a more... Listen, I don't really care about the whole, like, talking to NPCs or whatever. Just give me dungeons to explore. Give me monsters to kill. Just figure it out beforehand.
Yeah.
That way, not everyone's disappointed or takes issue when they're at the table.
Yeah. It's definitely important, but I think that the responsibility is as much on you as a player as it is for a DM to make sure that you're prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know. It really is a matter of communication, I think.
Yeah.
If your DM doesn't want to tell you for some reason, that should be maybe a red flag. Like, if you say, hey, I know we're going to be starting a game. Is it going to be more roleplay heavy? Is it going to be combat focused? A mixture of both? And they're just kind of playing, like, this whole, like, you'll find out thing. It could be cool. You know, it, mm-hmm. like, maybe they really just do have, like, a genuine good surprise, or, like, I don't know, maybe they're a weirdo or something, like,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't ever hurt to ask so that you're prepared for what you're getting into.
Yeah, precisely. That's also, like, I always like having, like, a nice balance, like, certain, like depending on what happens in-game, like, that could change how... the players are interacting with the world. Like, say they put themselves in a position to where no one's really, like, they're, like, where the state of the world is how it is, and, like, there's no reason for them to go into town. because reasons X, Y, and Z. They'll just stay in the wilderness and keep diving around dungeons or stuff like that. Or just, yeah, I don't know if I'm really explaining it properly, but like, just certain plot hooks and things like that will change the narrative of the story. Like,
yeah,
say for this whole plot, most of the time they're not really talking to people, not really going into town. They're just going around exploring these dungeons, trying to find X and X information. But for the next four sessions after that, they've spent the entire time in a city just trying to talk their way through stuff and, like, trying to find information.
Yeah. So what you're saying is you like the option for either.
Yeah, either
is that
work.
Correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
A nice blend of the two, and definitely, like, like, something I've kind of, like, I know where my strong suits are, but it's always nice to have, like, a campaign with not, like, one particular theme. But, like, trying to, like, change them interspersed and weaving depending on what's happening in the story. It's like, okay, yeah, we can start off with this kind of creepy or, like, this like, fun adventuring tale because all the characters are just like, oh, yeah, look, let's just hang out and explore these dungeons and make some money together. And then eventually, depending on the situation, it turns into more of, like, a gothic horror scenario where they've got themselves, like, they've wandered into a town that's run by vampires, and now they're just stuck trying to get out of there or, like,
yeah,
root them out or something. And then, like, it just changes depending on the narrative that's going on.
Yeah.
It's always nice to have a nice, like, blend of things, is basically what I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree. I like to have the blend of things, too. But kind of going back to the Matt Mercer effect, another issue that I've heard a lot is that, kind of going off the everyone expects their game to be Critical Role, is that like newer players or like really hard diehard fans of Critical Role will try and like almost copycat characters, which I mean, I'll just say, to me, like, that's not cool. Like, if I had a player that was like basically like, oh, I'm Grog, but like just not Grog, you know? Like, I don't know, that doesn't sit well with me. I think that people should, it's an important distinction, I guess. Like, there's no information in the world that's like, you know, like new, right? So like, whenever you're doing anything creative, like, you're taking inspiration from something. And that's fine. You could take inspiration from something without being a copycat, though. And that's something I guess I'm thankful that, like, I haven't really seemed to run into. Where people are just, like, ripping off ideas, like, literally.
Yeah.
So that's just something that, I don't know. Again, I haven't had to deal with it, but it's, like, thank God, too. Because that just seems super annoying.
Yeah, I can see where your point is coming from. But yeah, there's always like that, there's that line of like, okay, that's kind of a cool idea. Let's see how I can twist that and make kind of like something, take a different creative take on it.
Yeah.
But I don't
and
know.
And one other thing too, let me just, because I was going to say this earlier, is that if you want your game to be like Critical Role too, like, you better bring it. Man, like, you better be the one that's like bringing the amazing RP to the table, because I guarantee you that you're not. And like, just a really common issue I see, not in just my game or just your game, but like other games that I've been in, is like, everyone like wants like good RP sessions and stuff to happen, and then they don't pay attention at all. And yeah. I'm even guilty of it, but they, like, if someone else is, like, talking to the DM or, like, an NPC, or they're talking to another party member, they're not paying any attention at all.
Yeah, it's happened more often than not. Like, there's times where it's just like, oh, okay, cool, this stuff's happening, and then someone chimes in later, like, oh, what's going on? It's like,
yeah, what's happening? And, like, I understand that sometimes there are circumstances to where, like, you just, like, either legitimately couldn't hear, because maybe, like, you just didn't understand what they said, or maybe someone else was being rude at the table and talking, and so you didn't hear what the DM said. But I would say a lot of the time it's probably your own fault if you didn't know something that was going on. Like, if you didn't realize that, I don't know, like, the library doors were locked one, like, or something. I don't know. I'm just, like, let's say you didn't realize that, like, the doors were locked, and then, like, you encounter that, like, 5 minutes later, and you're like, guys, why didn't you just open these doors? And they're like, because they're locked. Like, we had talked, like, that's what the past 5 minutes have been, is us trying to figure out how to get into this room with the doors locked.
Yeah.
Like, that is just so annoying. Like, cut it out. Pay attention to what's going on.
Yeah, it's like the whole point of the game is for you to be listening to what's going on. Like, even if your character isn't involved in a situation,
yeah,
if your character's present in any conversation, you should probably pay attention.
Yeah,
because more often than not, like, your character is listening to that conversation too. They're not, even if they're not actively participating, if your character is in the quote unquote like the scene, basically,
yeah.
You're sitting there, it's like, okay, so let's put it into a real life perspective. If you're standing next to someone, who say you're walking with your friend, and your friend started a conversation with someone, they know on the side of the road, and they're talking about something. Even if you're not actively involved in the conversation, you're just sitting there scrolling on your phone or whatever, you're still listening. You're still taking it in.
Yeah.
Like, you're still soaking in some of that information.
Yeah.
So maybe you should pay attention anyways and at least get some of it so you don't have to ask the person who's involved, oh, what is happening again?
Yeah.
Or what did they say?
And then on the flip side, though, is the people that are, like, over-involved and trying, like, and I have dealt with a few people at the same table as me, not necessarily in my game, but, like, I've just dealt with people that I've played with who they are always, like, they have to be, like, the star of the show.
Mm-hmm.
They have to try and pick every lock, even if they're not the rogue. They have to try and solve every problem. They're like an iPhone. They just, like, have an app for everything, and they don't give anyone else a chance to play. And it's, like, at that point, it's like, okay, well, we get it. Like, your character's really strong and really outgoing, so why don't you just go adventure by yourself? You know?
I was kind of guilty of that last time we played, but that was also me just trolling everyone for all the shit I've had to put up with in my game.
That seems like a different thing to me, though.
Yeah, that was just me trolling.
You were definitely trolling, but you weren't trying to, like, take the attention away from everybody else, necessarily.
Yeah, I think a lot of that situation was just,
but
like,
you did deliberately go off and do your own thing, like, regardless of whether the party wanted to do that or not.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was uncharacteristic, because normally you're not like that. And I was like, why is Trevor doing this tonight to where, like, they're like, hey, let's have this quiet conversation in secret with this NPC. And Trevor's like, I'm going to start loudly talking about it. I'm like, why are you being such an asshat today?
Yeah, I was a little trolly, a little more than I needed to be. That's on me. I've talked to, like, the dude and Nugget about it. I'm like, yeah, I was being a bit of an ass.
And I don't even mind that much if it's, like, occasionally, but if it becomes, like, a constant problem at the table, that's where I draw issue with it. Yeah. It's like, it is a team game at the end of the day. That's why we, you know, try and get six people, or however many,
yeah,
to the table on the same night at the same time a week. It's like, if we're going to go through all that effort,
it's just already,
just for somebody to, like, either go off and do their own thing or just not pay attention, it's like, then why even show up?
Yeah, it's also, like, with our group, it's already as bad as, like, trying to herd cats into a bag. Like, it's literally what it is.
Yeah.
It's like, no one's, like, even if we're all on time, we can't get anyone to sit down and get ready for the next 2 hours.
Yeah, this has been a podcast where we just complain about D&D things, but... We didn't really get into... We could complain all day about the Matt Mercer effect and things that players do, but let's change topics, you have something else.
No, the point is with the whole thing is like, just maybe, like, bring back, rein in your expectations a bit, talk about your player group and the type of game you want to play, talk, like, literally, whatever, if you're starting up a new game, whether you're the DM, if you're the player, whatever, talk to your playgroup, figure out where everyone wants to be, the kind of game they want to play, and find a happy medium. Don't expect...
Or just don't join that group if that's not what you're down for.
Yeah, and also just, and, like...
Subject yourself and other people to your misery.
Don't expect... Like, don't... Even if you're... if you're a DM, don't try 100% to be Mercer. You don't. You're not, like, he's been doing this for 20 some odd years.
Although one thing too, really quick, yeah, just ahead. To interject. Sorry, I don't like to interrupt people, but dude. Also, with the whole Critical Role thing, dude, mm-hmm. if you want to aspire to be that good, that's totally different.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you shouldn't try and be Critical Role necessarily, mm-hmm. but, like, just don't have, like, some unrealistic expectation about it. But, like, dude, if they're a little kid, like, shooting hoops, and I was like, you'll never be Michael Jordan, that's just so crushing. It's like, he probably knows he'll never be Michael Jordan deep down, mm-hmm. but, like, don't, like, ruin his shit, you know?
Mm-hmm. So
aspire, by all means, to be like them if you want, but...
Yeah, yeah. So, besides that whole thing, was there another part you wanted to get
no.
into?
Cause there's well, I thought maybe we should switch gears a little bit and mm-hmm. just talk about, like, kind of thought process between, you know, creating characters, creating games, and how those two things might share some similarities or differences.
Okay, so when it comes down to it, so say you're getting ready to start a game for the first time, like yeah. you're plotting your world. Do you try to think about it in terms of the players you're playing with, and like what their characters, or do you kind of find just cool shit you like in the world and just try to incorporate it all in there initially?
What I do personally is I like to come up with like a cool setting and a really cool flavor. And then mm-hmm. I just have the people kind of like, or the players, the people.
The people.
I try to come up with like an engaging characters. setting or story or mm-hmm. flavor that I want to really like drive home. And then
mm-hmm.
after that, I just kind of tell the players like, hey, like I might give them some hints. I'm usually not like totally upfront about what we're getting into,
mm-hmm.
but I'll either be like, hey, we're going to do my game, and like I'll either give them the flavor, like it's going to be like gothic horror or whatever, and it's going to be really RP heavy, or I don't really like to think that I do things too RP heavy, but maybe mm-hmm. I do. What I like to describe my style of DMing is RP leaning,
mm-hmm.
but not necessarily like there's no combat or very little combat.
Yeah.
So and then I like to give them the freedom to be who they want to be and explore that world as they see fit.
Yeah. That like that being said, I feel like I almost in terms to. It's kind of related to, like, in terms of, like, basically the session we had last Saturday,
mm-hmm.
I felt like it might have been a little too heavy on the combat, but I don't think it was uncalled for. This is me kind of asking you, kind of.
No,
like...
I think it was fine. The issue with the combat, and maybe I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but, like, you might think that it was taking too long.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just something you kind of got to deal with D&D, is the combat takes forever sometimes. Especially if you got guys missing rolls, and or your enemies are missing rolls, and just, like, it can quickly become a nightmare.
Yeah.
And also, like, they were kind of hard enemies, and people also just weren't, like, ready on their turn all the time. Even me, like, you know, not to try and act all high and mighty, like I had a big problem with it too, because I was like, stuff would change so much every round in combat that I was like, well, this spell that I was thinking about using, I'm not gonna use now.
It doesn't help that we have a bigger party. We're like, what, five people, not including me, sometimes six.
Yeah, 5 to 6 usually.
And there were five to six highly powered enemies, and then a couple NPCs that were all in there, and it was just a long
combat, like, in terms of initiative, even.
It was the kind of thing, I think that was, like, 95% of the session last time, just that one combat, but basically...
It was a good chunk.
Yeah, I got a little off topic there, but I kind of was, like, it kind of made me think about it in general. It's just, I felt like, well, maybe it was too much, but then, like, the more I think about it, like, well, circumstantial, they didn't know what they were messing, well, the player that initiated didn't know what he was messing around with, and just did something for the sake of doing it, and mm-hmm. the results happened.
And now he will pay dearly for it.
Yeah. So, when it comes to the whole, like, going back with the whole world building and such planning in good space, because I'm, the reason I asked that the specific way is because I'm currently, for the first time, kind of, like, working on my own world from the, like, ground up. There have always been things where I've, like, kind of ran it and came up with things on the fly, but this is the first time actually, like, I'm planning out the world.
Truly homebrewed
thing. I'm planning out the background and each city and blah, 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 and it's just like, well, I've got some cool things, well, I'm just trying to figure out how else to, like, fill it up, because it just seems like...
Here's what I would advise you to do. Come up with a couple of really interesting and cool places and develop them to a decent degree. And then just kind of like leave the rest up to the players, because there may be different things that like just come up naturally in the game. Like, let's take for example, my game where I have Tycho Village. Well, like, that's just one place, and I have, like, ideas for a bunch of other spots, but, like, I'm leaving it very open-ended because I'm sure some player is going to be like, man, you know what would be really cool is if there's, like, da-da-da, or, like, I really wish I could get this item, and then I can kind of just, like, on the fly or, like, between sessions, like, come up with that place or that quest pretty quickly and just kind of do it that way. So I really like to kind of do like a rough draft of the world and then never really like write anything in stone.
But yeah, I think my major issue was it's tougher for me to like come up with naming places, and then like, oh well, I'm probably gonna have to map this out at some point. It's like, that also seems like a daunting task. I'm like, well
again though, like take Tycho Village for example. Again, I don't have a map of the place. Like, you guys just use your imagination. I just kind of give you general directions to where things are in the city, and then, like, you know, like, because who really cares if there's an actual physical map, and you can be like, oh, well, like, this shop is directly next to this thing, and, like, there's that flower next to that speck of dirt. Like, no one cares.
Okay.
They're all using their own imagination for it, so that's why I keep it loosey-goosey, I would say.
Yeah, and... So,
come up with a name last. It's not that important, right?
Mm-hmm. All right. I think that's kind of basically what I wanted to get to on the whole planning things out. Because I know me, planning-wise, I do very little planning.
Yeah.
I have, like, rough outlines in my head that I basically will just come up with while either listening to something or watching a movie or just kind of just playing a video game. I just like, oh, that'll be an interesting, like, plot point or something to use, and...
I don't do much planning either, but I do think that, like, when I try to plan a little bit, even if I just take, like, one day a week after work or something and, like, write things down, it actually helps my game become more solid. So while I say keep it loose, I think really cementing certain ideas that you want to drive home by writing them down, like... Well, I lost my train of thought with that, but...
Yeah, basically just, like... Well, you basically just take a day after work and basically just kind of like, all right, just jot things down so you don't forget.
It doesn't have to be long or time-consuming. Like, it can be, like, an hour or two a week, right? Mm-hmm. And I think Matt Mercer one time said that he says, however many hours you plan your session to be is how many hours you should plan ahead. Mm-hmm. So if you were going to run a four-hour session... plan for 4 hours. And I think that would be like in a perfect world, yeah, but like I'm not putting 4 hours aside every week to try and plan a 4 hour session.
Yeah.
That's if I did, dude, my games would probably be awesome. Like I'm sure Matt Mercer is right that if you did that 1-to-1 ratio, and maybe he didn't even say that and I'm just like totally putting words into his mouth, but I think he did.
The only session I actually ever did that for, I felt like was my worst session.
Really?
Yeah, that was a couple of years ago when you were living in St. Anne.
Okay.
I had you guys starting in the town of Frostford and basically went and explored that underground city.
Yeah.
With all the Yetis and stuff. I think that was the only couple of sessions that I actually, like, planned out.
Maybe it's because, too, if you plan for 4 hours a session and then your party inevitably throws you a curveball, you're almost not prepared because you're more in, like, the, well, this is supposed to happen next mindset instead of, like, the, like, I'm ready to just kind of deal with whatever they decide to throw at me, which is why, I like to keep it pretty loose because it does create a problem, though, I guess, sometimes. The problem being that if you're too loosey-goosey with things, then you end up with the scenario of, like, okay, you guys wake up the next morning, and then everyone is just sitting there, and they're like... And then you're like, what do you guys want to do today?
Mm-hmm.
They're like, I want to go to the magic item store. Like, you know? Like, literally.
I want to shop for stuff.
Yeah, I want to shop for stuff.
I want to try and be the buffest I can be. It's always nice, like, a few times I attend to the day, because I feel like, I don't know if it's, like, translated well with you guys at the table, it's just, like, going, when, to me, I picture in my head that, like, okay, they should know that there's this clear thing they can do, but will they go and do it? Like, in Take Our Current Game, where it's like, okay, you guys can, if you guys would, if the shit that happened last time didn't happen, and we went to the next day, and you guys were ready, like, you guys have explored your new keep and everything, it's like, what do you want to do? Literally, you could go back and do, like, this little plot thread that I dangled in front of you, or you literally can go anywhere.
Yeah.
Like,
that's what I try to take advantage of that when I can.
Like, there's times where I, like...
And then Brad always ruins it by destroying the world.
Yeah, where, like, I like the fact, like, because... Where I, like, you have... I think it's why it's taken me so long to, like, actually, like, write a full-blown, like, setting. Is because I'll just take other pre-existing settings and kind of just run whatever I want in them.
Yeah.
Because that way it's like, okay, especially something, if something I'm decently familiar with, I'm like, okay, this is, like, here's the map, here's the world that it is. You guys can literally point to a point in the map and we'll go there.
Yeah.
And then I'll just plan something out from there.
Yeah.
Like, whatever, like...
That is something cool about having a map, though, too.
Yeah, it's like... And... I feel like sometimes it's not, like, translated well because it's always like, oh, hey, look, we found this weird plot thread that has to do with, I don't know, the fucking Cult of the Dragon.
Yeah.
That I feel like we need to chase. But it's realized, like, no, that's just, like, that's something that you stumble onto. You don't, you can just let them be and you can just fucking go about your day.
Yeah.
How many times in your life do you already see, like, oh, look, that's something happening, but I'm just gonna fucking ignore it and I'm gonna go fucking do this job. Like, I don't care about the fucking Cult of the Dragon. This guy's going to pay me to go clear this fucking dungeon. Fucking instant rewards here.
Someone else deal with the Cult of the Dragon. Yeah,
someone else fucking deal with them. That's not me.
Yeah.
That's fucking Joe.
Dragon McCultist Slayer. Yeah,
fucking...
That's his job.
Yeah, he's got that. I'm going to go do this. But, so, that being said, what do you... What would you say would be your favorite campaign setting?
A pre-existing one or the...
Either. That you've ever been in. It could be a pre-existing setting that you really enjoy that you've never played in. It could be one you've already played in and really enjoyed.
I have to say it's between two. I love the Curse of Strahd, Ravenloft, Barovia setting. Just absolutely love it. So if we're saying pre-made, boom. There you go, Ravenloft. Because I just always keep coming back to it. I love the gothic horror, I love the vampires and spooky things.
Like, I myself recently I've been revisiting Curse of Strahd, because it's been a while since we've done anything with it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how can I do this differently and make it interesting to people who've already played it? And it's something that's kind of, like, in my head, because I'm like, well, I kind of miss running Curse of Strahd. Curse of Strahd is just, it's so...
Yeah.
Fun.
It is.
To just be like, hey, you're being hunted by a fucking vampire.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
Yeah. There's something about the vampire and, like, the spooky atmosphere and everything and, like, the dreariness.
Yeah.
If that's even a word, and the dread. There's something about that that just makes it hit so different than, like, like, dragon slaying knight hunts for treasure. Like, I don't know.
That, and I think it does a really good job of, like, you can drop the party anywhere, and you're like, hey, you're just fucking, you're in this place you don't know, you've never been in. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, you could drop them in the town of Barovia, like most people do, and, like, set up the whole adventure. It's like, you're literally in this place you don't know.
The setting, dude, here's what I think maybe the best thing about that setting is that it provides so much opportunity for mystery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff we never even touched in the setting. Like, there's, like, the whole thing with, like, I think her name's, like, Baba Lasaga.
Yeah.
That's a whole plot that's never been happened.
And we've played that thing, like, 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, I think the few times that we've actually finished it, you guys have all, like, found a creative way to get around, like, Strahd. So we've never actually... We've never been inside the castle.
We've never confronted him. We've never even been into Castle Ravenloft.
No, you guys have always found a different way to, like, finish the adventure in. Like, either way, a fucking hats off to you guys. But like, there's just, like, that. I think that's why I'm so drawn to it still. It's like, man, we've gotten, like, there's so many times. We've gotten
we've
so
played
close.
It for real 3 or 4 times, and there's stuff we haven't done.
Yeah. Like, I literally, like, there's a time, I just want to run a game that's just like, okay, this is the deep dive Ravenloft.
Yeah.
You guys better be ready to fucking do everything. I'm not going to give you a creative way to get out of this.
Yeah.
You are facing the pure, infinite rage of Strahd von Zarovich.
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to be, like, this distant, cold, calculating thing anymore. Like...
Maybe at first, and then...
Like, there's, like... I feel like that's what it's got to be. It's got to be a certain point where it's, like...
Because if he just unleashes his fury, we'll all be dead at level 3 on session 1, you know? Like...
But then, like, there's also the way, like, the thing I was thinking about was, like, having... Next time I run it, I know I think I brought it up to you, but we'll see how the game lands, if you're in it, if you're not. If having someone else be like, okay, you're going to play Strahd. There's these new people in your land. Do you even care about them yet?
Yeah.
What are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
And then just because Strahd knows everything that's going on, so it's just like, just keep reporting back. It's okay, this is everything the party did. What are you going to do, Mr. Big Bad Vampire?
Yeah.
Or even, like, I feel like we're going to out, like, big secrets here, like, with another thing, like... But I don't think any of our players even watch this. Maybe.
Tread lightly.
I'll tell you off camera.
Okay.
I'll tell you off camera. But okay, So
my other favorite setting is the one that I'm running right now, which I created, called Tsukishima, which I came up with this idea 8 or 9 years ago, far before Ghost of Tsushima came out. So no, I did not rip off that game, but it did kind of inspire me to, like, actually get this one going again.
Did you know there's actually a place in the Forgotten Realms called Tsukishima?
No.
I just found that out yesterday.
That makes me upset.
I don't know if it's currently in canon, but apparently there was a place in the Forgotten Realms called Tsukishima. Yeah, and it's basically like feudal Japan.
That makes me so upset because I remember doing research and shit, like, trying to, like, figure out...
I have yet to confirm if it's official. I know it's in a supplement someone created. Like, someone created a supplement for DM's Guild that added monsters that just referenced this place. And apparently this place seems to exist in Forgotten Realms. I just have to, like, I'm still digging into it.
Okay.
And I also could have just misheard the guy. It might not have been, like, it might not have been Tsukishima, but, like...
Something similar.
Like, it's a very similar way of pronouncing it without being the exact same. So, I'm still digging into that. I will let you know as soon as I figure that out.
Wow, I'll be so disappointed. Because I worked so hard to, like, come up with something unique and creative and make it really badass for everybody.
Yeah. If it is, oh well, fuck it. Things happen.
Yeah.
Either way, I don't think it's, like, a chunk of the moon that fucking broke off or like that. I think it's just, like, a set of islands.
Dude, if it's a chunk of them, like, no one will ever trust me again, you know? Like, they'll be like, you straight up ripped this off us it is your idea 8 years in the making. And I'll be like, dude, I swear it's not. And my only source of, like, alibi would be Cameron, because I literally made this idea with Cameron house one time.
I think that's the thing we gotta rely on, is Cameron's sure... devout loyalty to the Forgotten Realms, that he hasn't brought this up.
That is true.
So, Yeah. That's a pretty strong source. Yeah, out of that's all true. He's the only one.
But
that
the Forgotten what. Realms is also kind of enormous. Yeah. Like, there's a lot to know about it. So
yeah,
it's possible that some little cranny exists that he hasn't heard of. But
yeah. Yeah. So you got Barovia and your custom setting of Tsugishima.
Yep. Those are my favorite settings. And yeah, because I love, you know, classic Japan and samurai and, you know, the mythological creatures that in legends from Japan are really cool to me.
Mm-hmm.
And their culture, especially at the time, I would say. You know, when I say I admire Japanese culture, I'm really talking more about like an age that has really come and gone. But I like to capture it, man. Like, people like samurai movies and people like ninja, and I mean, it's for a reason. It's just cool, man, you know. D&D's never really done anything as far as I know, or like Wizards has never done anything where they're like, hey, let's take this cool, you know, popular setting.
I think the most we've gotten is like maybe the Kensei monk and the samurai fighter.
I mean, even in the DMG, they reference like Wuxia settings or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically just describe it as like Kung Fu movie kind of setting. Okay. But yeah, I don't know, man. Like, Ghost of Tsushima, the video game, like, that brought to the table a lot of awesome stuff that like I had just been thirsting for in terms of like that old school classic Japanese samurai flavor.
Yeah.
And so that's what I wanted to bring everybody with the Island of Tsukishima, and also kind of like bring in this whole concept of like, you're the foreigners here, and not like this, like, you know, other flip-flop to where like some like lone samurai wanders like you know, into your land. It's like, you guys are the ones wandering into their land, and like, you better watch your back because people are judging you on every action you take,
basically. It's hard for me to pick favorites. I think because it really depends. I haven't played in too many different settings. There are some that have been really interesting and really fun. Like, one session that I'll always I kind of appreciate is the one we were playing in at the Refuge, and I can't remember the name of the world. I just know I was playing a paladin. You were playing a warrior, fighter barbarian, and we stole that airship and then crashed it into another airship.
There was a lot of really cool stuff about that.
Yeah, that setting was fun. Like, I liked...
That was homebrewed.
Yeah, I think I might still have the pamphlets that Justin gave us somewhere.
There was definitely parts that I loved and parts that I did not like at all about that.
I just, like, shit like that was, like... That was just a really, like...
My biggest complaint with it is that civilization was so scarce.
Yeah.
To, like, just like too cruel of a degree that made it almost like not believable.
Yeah, but there's just like moments like that I appreciate. That's why I think that's why that setting is so like kind of still ingrained in me. But otherwise, I think I have a love for Eberron.
He would he always like was really good at like getting into character too.
Yeah, yeah.
He was superb at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one of my favorite pre-made settings for is like Eberron, just like the lore with Eberron and diving more into
that. That is a super interesting one too.
Yeah, like
I agree.
I was talking to, I think it was after a couple of weeks ago, I was talking to Nugget and the Dude about it. And I'm like, hey, I was just talking like a bit of the creation myth. And they're like, holy shit, dude. They're like, we just thought Eberron was this silly like trains and
steampunk
D&D. Yeah. I'm like, no, Eberron's kind of fucking crazy.
Yeah, I would like to play an Eberron again.
Yeah,
I know we started to one time and it just didn't pan out, but
yeah, I know. I don't think that was me running that game.
No, that was Connor running that one.
Yeah, I know. I really enjoyed
it. It was pretty fun too, but we only got like two or three sessions in.
I know I'm planning on running an Eberron game because I know I've been telling everyone about the setting I've been making, but that's a ways off still. I wanted to make sure. I always want to. Yeah. It's kind of like thing where I'm like, I just want to get to a certain point where I don't think that where I'm quite close to that point yet. So I'm like, okay, we finish this game. Maybe we hop over to Ebron and do some silly like pulp adventures over there, and just I don't know, just kind of like try it. Just try something a little different because I know. The setting I'm making, I think I'm just kind of excited about it because it's mixing a bunch of stuff that I like a lot. It's gonna have a lot of like those classic high fantasy land elements, but it's also gonna have like these Magitek society portions where it's like the way I've described it in a nutshell. I'm like, okay, Eberron is low magic, but it's high magic but low magic.
Yeah,
so where like all the technology is powered by magic. But
there's not a lot of like actual spellcasters.
No, those are spellcasters. They're just not very powerful. You're not gonna find like
ninth
or tenth level spellcaster. You're gonna find like a guy who's like, well, I'm a locksmith. I can fucking
everybody's magical, but like hardly magical.
Yeah, some people have magical abilities. Like, oh, I can just do these little things. Like a locksmith can cast knock and unlock a door like three times a day, and that's how he makes money. He's like, oh, pay me 25 gold, boom, your door is unlocked.
Yeah.
Or, like, he can cast Arcane Legs. Like, all right, no one's going to get in there.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And, like, it's
except
like...
except me.
Yeah, there's, like... So, literally, when, like, the party gets to, like, fifth level or, like, some... Or even, like, third level.
Yeah.
At a certain point, the party's like, we are the strongest people in this world. Like, we... There's literally hardly anyone at the same caliber as us. Like, you can run into an NPC who's, like, a 20th level cleric inside the city... But the moment she steps foot outside the city, she has no power. Like, her god has no power outside that city. And it's just, like, a weird, quirky little setting where... I was like, mine is, like... That's how mine was. Like, well, mine's basically going to be, like... It's high magic... It's high fantasy, high magic, Eberron. So it's Eberron, what Eberron could be if it was, like... There's some crazy things out there. So, yeah. So Eberron's something that kind of that excites me. Another setting that I know, I still get excited about, is Tomb of Annihilation.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that one.
Like, I know Tomb of Annihilation has had its controversies in the past, like, when it came out and stuff.
I have a love-hate relationship with
it. Yeah, and I think the issue is I was... So, basically, the issue with that was I did not understand hex crawlers. And that's kind of what you're supposed to incorporate. You're supposed to incorporate hex crawling... maps were like basically like, okay, you can make so many checks for so many days to get to a point, and I think we were just going day to day, and I'm like, okay, this is gonna be forever, because it's like the fucking island's like 200-300 miles long, so you're gonna be in like, this is gonna be a very long journey. And what I should have done was speed it up.
Yeah,
I should have sped it up a little bit.
I agree with that, like, not trying to like come down on you it, but it did seem like so painfully like grueling. I know this game is supposed to be hard and like brutal.
Yeah, no, that was
like me. This just feels like ridiculous. Like every day we're making checks to find water, and like it's like, what are we even playing?
So that's on me. I should be like, okay, let's make this check, and like this will be so many days, and we'll just go like, yeah, there's supposed to be repeated checks just to kind of make the way through. But yeah, that's on me for not like condensing it and going on.
It's understandable though. But, yeah. Anyone could have made that mistake.
Yeah, but I do enjoy Tsukushima because of what we've talked about lore wise. That really excites me to see where that's going to go in the future, and kind of the darker secrets that are hidden away on the island.
Oh, there's tons of directions that this place can go.
Yeah,
and,
so.
I mean, like, not only just, like, honorable samurai and, like, you know, great battles between different clans, but, like, there's also, like, the darker kind of secrets that it could hold, like, regarding some of the shrines and things, and some of the vengeful spirits that might, you know, be attached to these places, and different mythical beasts and... kind of like legends too that you guys haven't uncovered. We're only three sessions in, and you guys have stayed at one inn and hunted down a couple of bandits, you know.
Yeah, so there's just like certain things where like I'm definitely interested in seeing where like the root of everything goes,
yeah,
and stuff like that. And,
there's also the Nine Tails too. That's like, so that's gonna be awesome.
I'm interested to see where it goes, and so that's basically what I'm excited for. I know. It's just, listen, guys, I'm having issues.
All right. Well, right. You want to wrap then?
Yeah. So,
all right.
Running on Empty Podcast, that's us.
Brought to you by us.
On the channel in which you're watching it, or the place in which you're listening to it, wherever
look
that is.
Look how tired I look, especially in this lighting. It's like, wow, super dark circles. Yeah. So, anyway, Running on Empty, I'm ROE Tengu on Twitter if you want to follow me, but you don't have to. I don't really care.
Octopus Ink Bots and everything. Go do it. Like, follow, comment,
subscribe.
Hit the bell. Tell YouTube, dude, we matter.
I sincerely wonder what happens if someone hits the bell, because I've never in my life hit the bell.
It just notifies you when they post a video.
Oh, well, that was kind of lame. I was hoping someone would do it for us and then, like, report back.
Yeah, I mean, do it anyways and then report back. Okay. If it worked.
Cool.
Whatever, we post an episode again. But, yeah.
All right, people. It's been real. It's been fun. But it hasn't been real fun, so.
Goodbye.
That's what Dalton would say.
Yeah.
All right.
Stay safe.
Pet your dog. Bye.